Tēnā koutou te whānau, this is the Māori Millionaire Disclaimer. For your information, this is not investing advice and it should not be taken as such. This is all general education for just general purposes. I'm here to help share my experiences and educate you guys as much as I can, but it is not financial advice, so please do not take it as such. Ngā mihi. Kia ora e te whānau, welcome back to a new podcast episode. Ko te kahukura buentan tōku ingoa, huri tēnei no Ngāti Kahungunu, Ngāi Tūhoe, te whakatohia hoki. And this is the Māori Millionaire Podcast, where we talk all about personal finance, investing, and entrepreneurship. Today we have an episode, I'm interviewing Rachel. She is the founder of The Savvy Saver. If you haven't heard of her, make sure to check out her page on Instagram. She posts all about personal finance. She talks about budgeting and creating new income streams through surveys and just doing really cool stuff. She's a stay-at-home mama, and so I wanted to bring her on board because she offers insight into that life that I obviously can't as someone who doesn't have tamariki. And so, yeah, I'm really excited for today's episode. If you enjoy it, then please share this on your story and tag us. This is how we can allow the Māori Millionaire Podcast to grow organically and get this out to the whānau that need it. So if you could share this on your story and tag us, I would so appreciate that. But without further ado, let's get on to today's podcast episode. Māori ora e te whānau, welcome back to a new podcast episode. Today we have my friend and I guess colleague, I don't even know, on social media. Her name is Rachel. She runs The Savvy Saver on Instagram and on TikTok as well. She does amazing work in the personal finance space. She's an advocate and she's been sharing her personal finance journey for almost 2 years now. But not only that, she's a qualified lawyer, she's a mama, she's a wife, and she's got this awesome following and awesome community online. And I am beyond excited to have her here with us today and to share her nuggets of wisdom. And I'm also excited to see where the future takes her, because I believe that it's going to be so bright and so awesome. And I see her already helping so many people, and it's just going to be so much bigger, and she's going to help so many more people in the future. So welcome to the show, Rachel. I'm so excited to have you. Thank you for being here, and thank you for taking time out of your day to be with us today.
Thank you for having me. Can I just say, the introduction was like amazing. It made me feel like put on this pedestal, like through this.
Thank you for being here. I think this is a very long-awaited podcast episode, because I think we have probably been chatting for about 2 years also, probably since the beginning, maybe a year and a half or something, right?
It was definitely my fault. I'm like, you know, I'm very shy, and so I was trying to build up the confidence to like talk on a podcast, let alone, you know, videos on TikTok. So I'm here now.
Well, so I'm such a nagger. Like, whenever I have my friends in like the finance space, I'm like, come on my podcast. And then most people are like, and I'm just like, come on, like, get with it, come on. I want people to hear your nuggets of wisdom, because I know you have so many, so thank you. I've got so many questions for you, but I wanted to start with your entrepreneurship journey and how you got started with your business, with Savvy Saver. I want to know, I want to go back to the beginning and the beginning stages of this journey. How did you get started? Like, this is just an ordinary kind of thing that people are like, oh, I'm going to start a finance page. How did you do this?
Honestly, it was an accident. So, like, when I first, you know, moved out of home, started paying proper, you know, living expenses, I had this friend and we were both very much in the same boat. Like, one income quite low, we were trying to figure out how to live. And we were just talking one day and we were like, oh, let's just do our own, like, finance pages, like, share our tips with our friends. And we kind of didn't think that it would go further than our friends, maybe as far as like friends of friends. And then I just started posting and people started liking it. And next thing I knew, I had 7,000 followers. And I was like, how did this happen? Like, I'm just a normal mum, like at home, just sharing random stuff and people liked it. So yeah, it was genuinely an accident. It wasn't supposed to get this big and it did. And I'm loving it.
Honestly, it's just a testament to your consistency and how hard you work on this page. And I see it, like, you're such a busy person, you're a busy mum. And I know other mums close to me, and they're just constantly busy, especially with young kids. So being able to find the time to, you know, start a new business or a side hustle is definitely, like, it's not an easy task to do. So I think that the community you've grown is just a reflection of that. So really proud of you. One of my favorite things about your posts is that you're very vulnerable in some of them, and you share the hard times, and you share when you're restarting your emergency fund, you share the paying off debt and all of those types of things. That's what I love about your page. Are you able to share with me some of those struggles or hard times along your journey in hopes to kind of relate to other people? Because I think so many people look at finance creators and are like, oh, you know, lucky for you or good for you. But it's like, one thing that I love is like, actually, we're finance creators, but we go through hard things too. We make mistakes. We have problems in our own lives. We make money mistakes. Like, I make money mistakes all the time, and I look back and I go, girl, why did you do that? So what are your money mistakes, and how have you kind of paved your way through those?
Yeah, I think one of the things that I noticed when I first started my finance journey was all the professionals and finance people, they always spoke about increasing your income, cutting your expenses, but a lot of it only related to people with like two incomes or no kids. And I realized that there wasn't a lot of talk around how do you actually live on one income without doing those two things. And so I knew a lot of people around me that had to go to work because that's what people were telling them. Like, you have to go and get more money. Right. You have to do that. You have to kind of choose between money or family. And a lot of people were going more towards choosing money. Right. And so I started just being like, well, actually, no, I'm going to do the other thing. Like, I'm perfectly qualified. I could go and get a job if I wanted. But right now, my family is the most important thing. I grew up with a stay-at-home mom, and she was literally at every single school event. And so I want to do that for my kids. And I actually asked my daughter. My daughter said to me the other day, she said, Mommy, you know, when I'm at school, you can go to work, eh? And I said, I could go to work, but do you know, if I went to work, I wouldn't be able to come to your school thing. So the thing that I came to yesterday, Mommy wouldn't be there. I was like, yeah. I can do that, but do you want that? And she said, no, Mommy, you can stay home until we're adults now.
No.
Well, it's getting through to my five-year-old head, like, this is what I want. I want people to see that it's okay not to have everything now. As long as you're, I guess, surviving, like, that's totally fine. I guess living on one income is quite hard. Like, we get by. And I think one of the hardest things is people have this perception that because we look like we're doing well or we're doing all these activities as you know, a family, people think that we're rich. And they look at us, oh, you've got all this money, like, we'll treat you differently. And really, we're literally scraping by. And so, you know, I want people to see that. I want people to be like, look, you know what you're doing. You're like, you've got all these great tips, but you still don't have it together like the rest of us. And I think people relate to that more than showing them accounts with like thousands and thousands of dollars, because it's not realistically like that all the time. That's like a really good high for us. And at the moment, it's like, if all of our accounts are drained, like, I'm sure there are a lot of people like that too. And most of the time when your accounts are drained, people get discouraged and they're like, oh my gosh, I'm failing. But really, that's just life. Like, you get hit, you have so much money in all these different accounts, and then you get hit with repair after repair after repair, and your money's gone. And that's just how it is.
Mm-hmm. I really, really love that. And I think one of the reasons why I wanted to invite you onto my podcast was because I really value having different perspectives and different people in different circumstances to kind of show that, because people relate and they can understand different things. And I think I obviously enjoy parts of what I do, but at the same time, I've got no children. And so I have a totally different kind of finance setup to most people. And so those are things that I can't relate to you on, because I don't have children. And being financially responsible, I don't have any dependents either. So, you know, those things impact how I make my decisions and how I can have a riskier portfolio because I don't have anyone relying on me. And I think also I can, you know, work longer hours and I can do different things that help me with my finances. So I'm really keen to delve deeper and talk more about those. I recently got started. My emergency fund was drained because I had things come up. And I know that's something that you talk a lot about. How would you get started with, you know, rebuilding an emergency fund or those drained accounts to start redoing them? Like, what is your strategy when that happens?
Well, I think when I first started my emergency fund, we had no money. And so I sold things, I did surveys, I baked things and sold them. Like, I literally did everything I could to get extra money. Like, tax returns, all of that jazz, I did that. And so I feel like every single time my account goes back to zero, I just do the same thing. Like I just act though I've got no money. I'm going to try and find money because money's out there. You just have to kind of get a little bit creative. Like you can look at something in your house that you really don't need it, but you need that money. Go and sell it. Like it's just a possession, really. Like it doesn't really matter if you don't have that possession, but having that money to fall back on is like so much less stressful than having this item in your house that you think you need.
I do that the exact thing in my life. I have had times where I'll have, like, even if it's just like an kind of expensive book, or if it's a kind of expensive jacket or something, I'm like, well, if my emergency fund is empty, then I literally just need to sell it. Because if I'm sitting here with like nice things, but then I've got no money, it just doesn't make sense. And I have had friends who would have literally like the nicest, and I'm talking nice, like clothes or technology or shoes, and then they're like crying that they're broke. And I'm like, just sell yourself. Like, what do you mean you're broke? You're not broke. You have things. You're making a choice to have those over money. Love that. What are your best personal finance tips?
I think for me, it's like, don't be afraid to like reset because a lot of people start, this journey and it's failing. And then they're like, it's failing. I can't budget. I don't know what I'm doing. I'm done. And the reality is, you probably just haven't found the right method that works for you. Like, there are so many different ways to budget. And just because people are telling you that one way is good doesn't mean that it's going to be good for you. And so I think if you're not scared to just keep resetting until you figure out what works for you, then you're going to go a long way. I think the other thing, not to compare yourself, because a lot of people compare themselves, but I could look at someone else and they've got a totally different situation to me and they're doing so well. And I'm like, why am I failing? But like, I've got one income, four people in the house to feed, and they've got like, one person, no dependents, living at home, absolutely nothing. Like, it's just not realistic to compare yourself to others because you don't really know what everyone's kind of going through.
Love that. Love that so much. And I think the other part is like, you don't know the private struggles people go through, or the private, things in their budgets that you actually literally just don't know. And so I'm totally total for that idea of not comparing ourselves, because you just don't know. Like, you can see things and you can make assumptions from an outside perspective of what things actually look like. But that's only one element of it. The other bit is like the private stuff that you don't even know about. So I totally agree with that. If I was getting started with my own budget, I'm of the mind that, what works for you is the best type of budget. What is the budgeting method or style that you use?
Firstly, I use a spreadsheet.
Oh,
I've
yes.
tried so many different, methods, paper. Like I'm usually like a paper person, but I've found that a spreadsheet works best. And the way that I do it is I align my expenses with my payday. And so I don't, do monthly or whatever like that. It's like if I get paid fortnightly, my expenses are going to be paid in fortnightly amounts. And I do that purely because we're on one income and it's kind of low-ish or medium. I would say maybe like a mid income. I want to make sure that all of my essentials are paid. And if we have no money that week for fun, that's fine because our like living expenses are done. And so if I would only do it weekly and I kind of waited till the next week to pay a bill and we couldn't, like I'm screwed. And so I like to align it like that, and a spreadsheet helps me do that because I can visually see, like, at the end of the week, have I used all my money? Where is it going? Sort of thing. That's how I personally like to do it.
Awesome. I love that. Do you have any special tricks to save money?
Yes, actually, so my biggest area of like struggle with money, right, is groceries. I feel like
Yes.
everybody
It is so
groceries
expensive.
so expensive, and it doesn't matter, like. I used to be able to budget. So 2 years ago, I think I did it. I think it was like $150 a week. And that was good. Like that got us nappies, all of that. Now I'm like, borderline 200, and that's like pushing it, like really cutting back. And so my biggest hack this year has been shopping around. So I literally take my phone everywhere I go. And if I'm in a store, like say Mad Butcher, and there's chicken and it's like $12.99, I'm literally on the app, like off pack and save, making sure that at pack and save it's not more, oh, it's less than $12.99 or more. And that kind of is how I determine where I get it from. There's like those apps that you can use to like compare, but personally, I would rather just do it in store because I know what I'm buying.
Yep.
The other thing is I treat my savings like a bill.
Yeah.
And so I allocate my money from my like income or whatever, my bill chunk. So I literally transfer like say $500 to my bills account. That includes all my savings, and then an automatic payment comes from that account. So in my brain, I think it's a bill. And yep. I don't necessarily transfer it out or anything like that. It's just going there and I think it's a bill. So that's kind of the way that my mindset has kind of changed.
I use that same method too, and like a pay yourself first method. So it goes like I have an order of priorities. And I remember going to speak to some alternative education center students, and I said, you know, I have a list of my priorities. So like first, so like obviously my necessities in life, like paying for my board, paying for those types of things. And then the next one is saving and investing. And then after that, number three is fun money. And they were like, you wait until all your bills are paid before you have fun money? And I was like, yeah, like this is what you should do. And they're like, what? I just go and have fun first. And I was like, yeah, that's why we don't have money, guys. So priorities, I think, are like super duper important, and I love that. What do you think the barriers are for people being able to get started with their, you know, personal finance journey or budgeting? Or because I think a lot of people want to do better with their puta, and they don't want to struggle with money. And I think that's like a really big thing, I think, especially with the current political climate. You know, there's a lot of people saying, oh, poor people are poor because of the decisions they make. And I totally reject that. I think that a lot of people don't have puta. And I think one of the biggest reasons is that we don't know how to look after our money. We don't know how to manage our money. But what's your take on that? And what do you think some of those barriers are?
I think there's a few things. I think one of the main ones is, I know, like being Māori, like speaking about money is such a taboo subject.
Mm.
Growing up, I knew that we didn't really have a lot of money. Mm-hmm. I knew that my mum budgeted our money, but I didn't know figures. I didn't know what a lot of money was. I knew that my cousins had a lot of money, but I didn't know what that was. Like it was just, I saw them go on trips and all this stuff. And I think people were so afraid to speak about it. And I know that when I got into this finance space, probably it took a year for my mum to like trust me enough to give me figures.
Wow.
And so she would be like asking me little tips, and I'd kind of be like, oh, I can do it for you. Like I can do your budget. And she was a little bit like hesitant to show me her bank accounts and show me her numbers. And I think it's either embarrassment or it's just like, I don't want my kids to see our money.
Wow.
And well, probably like a year in that she actually said, here's my accounts, this is our money. And that's when she kind of trusted me. And so I think that's a lot of it, is like, there's this big stigma that talking about money is bad or embarrassing, and it really shouldn't be. But I think a lot of that also comes from, I know when I see finance professionals, they are always talking about the highs.
Yeah.
There's not a lot of talking about the lows. Like if they've got an empty account, they're not talking about it because they think, oh, they think I'm a fraud or something.
Yeah.
But the reality is, it's just that's real life. Yeah. And if you're not zeros, well, you're probably in the small portion of people that are very lucky. And it's not like that for everyday people. It's definitely not. And so, yeah, I think it's just breaking that stigma of money doesn't have to be embarrassing or scary. Like if people ask me how much we make, I'm upfront. Like I tell them, I'm like, it's not a lot. It's not like tiny, but this is it. Like,
yeah.
I really don't. You know, like if you think that we've got a lot of money, cool. If you think we don't, well, that's fine too. It's totally up to you. But as long as I'm being upfront and like showing what's actually like real for us, then I think that's
the coolest thing ever, and can totally relate. Like I know so many people who I can kind of make rough guesstimates of like puta, and like, okay, if you're working in this job, I can kind of assume that you're probably on around this salary. But then, you know, you have a conversation and people are just like, oh, you know, I earn a good wage. It's like, come on, bro. Like, I can just Google average salary of X. You don't have to just, like, play this pretend game with me. It's not that hard. Come on. I love it, though. Like, I've also, because I'm very open and I love just being able to chat with people and go like, oh, how much do you make in your job? And I actually have a friend who, like quite early on in our friendship, I was like, oh, how much do you earn? And she was like, oh, 250 grand. And I was like, what? That's insane. But it's like, I wouldn't actually know how much someone earns or, you know, what they do. And also, if you're comparing yourself to, say, a friend who's like, say, always traveling and stuff, and you just literally do not know what their income is, but you're always kicking yourself and going, oh, you know, I wish I could go on trips, but like, I don't know how she's always going on trips and stuff. But if you just have like an open conversation, like, she's going on trips because she makes 250 grand, bro. So I love it. What about your goals? Like, whether they're money goals, savvy goals, what are they? And do you have a method to setting your goals? And do you do them like at the start of the year? Like, how do you do this?
I'm like one of those people that I wait for the new year and I'm like, yay, new year's resolution. And then like a month in, I'm like, what was my resolution? I'm consistently making goals throughout the year. Like, new year's resolutions don't and never have worked for me. So I never wait for like something to come up and be like, wait, I'm going to wait till next month and start. Yep. Kind of, if I have an idea, I'm like, sweet, done. And I do it then. Like,
love it.
Which probably is really bad advice because people hate that. Eh? It's like when you can just like flick a switch and like start something. So that's kind of how my brain works. It's like if I think of something, I just do it. Yep. And I make it. And that's just kind of how I've always been.
Love
it. But my goals, I think now that I've seen the progress in my like Savvy Saver, I want to make it something more. Like I've started doing mini workshops and, you know, had people reach out to me to like do like a money plan. And so once I work out the legalities of it, because I don't obviously want to give financial advice based on legal stuff, but once I work out all of that, I think I can start to do that because I genuinely want people to succeed. And if people are going to find, you know, that helpful, then I would do that. Like, you know, I studied law and I thought it was because, you know, I would have security and all of the stuff. But what I've realized being a stay-at-home mom for like so long is that I didn't want to do law to make money. Like I wanted to do law and I just didn't know that I would be going down this other route to help people in a totally different way. And obviously have my law degree in the back of my mind, which is like really great knowledge. But I think that this is kind of where I'm meant to be, which is as cheesy as it sounds.
No, that's awesome. And I actually recently, so I was studying law and I think it was like midway through last year. I was studying law full time. I was working kind of 20 hours-ish at a law firm and then 20 hours on the business. And I had just like totally burnt out. And so I ended up taking a break from the law firm, taking a break from uni. And I just took like a whole 6 month break from, so all I did was Māori Millennia for 6 months. And I'm so grateful that, I had the pūtea to be able to do that through Māori Millionaire. But at the beginning of that, I was like, no, I don't want to do law. This is done. Like, I just want to do Māori Millionaire forever. And then at the end of the 6 months, I was like, I really miss law. I just really miss it. And I think that's also like a really important aspect of it is like accepting the waves. Like sometimes you're going to be like, oh, you know, I don't want to do this. And then I don't want to do that. But the one thing that I think you never lose is it doesn't matter if you have a law degree but you don't necessarily use it in your day job. You've still got all those skills and all that knowledge, and I reckon that law degrees teach us how to think in a different way, and I think that's what you have now. So some people might say, oh, it's a waste, and I personally think it's so not, and it's like so valuable in so many different ways.
Yeah, I think one of the things, the biggest things that my law degree got me was my ability to like break things down. Because before I did law, like I understood things, but I could never like tell people how I understood it. Like, I could never teach people how things work. I just got it. Yep. And so law, they kind of teach you to break things down. And so now I feel like those skills have helped me to break down the finance terminology for people to understand. And that's kind of, I guess, why I got to where I am.
On that note of the resources that you your goals with Savvy Saver, what are those resources? And if there's anyone listening into this podcast episode today, how can they support you in your business? I'm going to definitely put all the links to what you talk about in the description of this. But for an overview, what do you have on offer for people? How can they support you? How can they help Savvy Saver grow?
So one of my biggest things is to make everything affordable, right? So if I spent hours on a spreadsheet, I'm not going to sell it for like $20. Like I'm going to sell it for like $5. So I have like a lot of spreadsheets. I have an ebook. I've got like a printable budget planner, but I'm constantly coming out with things. Like I'm currently working on like a kids ebook sort of thing to teach kids finance. But the best way to do it is to sign up to my email list, I would say, because you get discounts. I feel like the people that support me in that way should get a little something extra. So, but yeah, otherwise the link's in my bio. So,
I actually got that email, like, was it today or yesterday? I remember seeing it. It came at like 5 minutes and I was like, wow, Rachel is on her game. I hope it was automated and that it came through at 5 a.m. But it was a it was a freebie that came through. And so if you want some more freebies, then you should be on Rachel's email list. So I'll put that down in the description too. I have loved chatting to you. Are there any other tips or tricks or just final words or remarks that you'd like to share with our audience today?
I think find your people. You know, growing up, I changed groups a lot in high school. Like if there was too much drama, I switched. I was just not drama. And I've realized that now in my life, the people that I associate with are people that are like helping me grow. And if I talk to you about money, like we don't have that much in common because I want you to be real. And so finding your people that are going to support your goals are going to get you a lot further than if you're just hanging out with people that are like all about themselves and comparing themselves to you constantly.
You just spoke to my Wainua because I honestly, that is something I have struggled with so much, like over the past couple of years, is having the confidence to decide that some people aren't helping me get places and some people were just dragging me down. And one thing I knew, like I would talk to my mentors and stuff and I'd say like, stop hanging out with them. And I would just feel so bad. Like, how can I just cut people off? And like, honestly, like if you can look at, say the past 12 months in your relationship, how many times has this person made you feel bad? How many times has this person doubted your dreams or said negative things about it? And I think based on those, I'm like, wow, this person wasn't actually a friend, but it hurts so much because, and I, one thing I really think that there isn't much content on is like friendship breakups and how much that actually hurts. But knowing that if your friends or the people who you think are your friends aren't supporting your dreams, then they're helping. Oh, that was one of my mentors said, if people aren't helping you row your waka forward, then they're dead weights at the back of it. And I think that's totally it. So I love that. Oh my gosh.
I'm in your brain.
Yes. I love that so much. Okay. And yeah, I think that's our questions for today. I have enjoyed talking to you so much. I could go on forever. Yeah, I love this. What about, actually, I do have one more question. You're great. You should start a podcast. Oh my gosh. Have you started a podcast?
Maybe I'll just feature on them every now and then.
And me just giving you more work. Like,
it's the editing part of it that I don't quite get.
Okay. Here's the thing, right? So when this is like exclusive information for the Māori Millionaire listeners today. So funny story. When I first started Māori Millionaire, I had no idea how to edit things. This is so embarrassing. For the first 6 months of Māori Millionaire, I just refused to. I was like, no excuses. I want to start a podcast, so I'm just going to do it anyways. And so I would just post them. I would try so hard to not make a mistake in it because I couldn't edit it. And so I would just record them and I'd be like, if I made a mistake, I had to re-record it because I didn't know how to edit it. And it wasn't until I actually got my first brand partnership. And in my first brand partnership, I had made a mistake in it. And so I had sent it to them for proofing and they were like, it's perfect. You just need to remove this little bit here because like legally you can't have this little bit in here. And I was like, oh, I don't know how to do that. But I didn't say that to them because I was like, got to be more professional. And so I was so busy. I was studying full time and I was working at the law firm and I just literally had no time to figure out how to edit. And so I literally searched on the internet. I was like, editor, I need it today or something. And so I found this guy, his name's Jordan from New Zealand Audio Editors, and I literally called him and I was like, hey, I run a podcast. I don't know how to edit, and I kind of need you to edit something like today for me because it's due tomorrow. And like, if it doesn't get sent to them, like, I don't get my money. And so I really, really need your help like today. And he was like, I can do that for you, but what? And anyways, he's been my podcast editor ever since, and he's absolutely amazing. Like, he is so just snappy. Like, I sent him something, he's like, yeah, it's done. At the start, he just edited because I'm such a cheapskate. I was like, oh no, I'm not paying for anything more than editing. And then eventually he started doing the distribution of the podcast. So now I literally just record an episode and send it to him, and he sorts everything else out for me. And it's the coolest thing ever. But that's a story about, like, you don't have to know what you're doing to start a podcast. Just wing it, girl. Just, you know, you don't even have it. You don't even need an editor. Come on.
I'll put it on my list.
Or just, like, make it, like, a really long, like, TikTok, and just because that's easier to edit.
Yeah, that's true. I can do TikTok.
So, like, I don't know how they do it. And I think one thing I've learned on this business journey is know your superpowers and then let other people use their own superpowers. Because I don't know jack about editing or, like, even, what is it, like, visual stuff, graphics. I don't know anything. Like, just look at my page. When I'm posting stuff, if it's not Christina posting it, if I'm posting things, it looks atrocious. It looks terrible. So you can know who's posting things just by how it looks visually, because I'm the worst at, like, visual stuff, at editing. That is not my forte. But you can do anything, guys. Doesn't matter. I got a brand partnership, so, I mean, you know. They didn't mind the non-edited podcast. Well, hope you enjoyed that. And I've really enjoyed chatting to you and learning so much about your journey. So just wanted to tuku mihi kia koe. Thank you so much for being with me today and the audience today. Make sure everyone to check the description, because I'm going to have all the links to Rachel's page and her social media. So make sure to check the description. But yeah, thank you so much.
Thank you.
OMG, that was such a great episode. I hope you guys enjoyed it. If you did, then I would just, like I said in the beginning, really appreciate it if you could share this to your story and tag me. This helps it to grow organically. But I would also appreciate it if you guys could rate this podcast. It literally takes 2 seconds, but it really, really helps this to get pushed out to more people. So if you could rate it, I would really appreciate that. That's us for today. I'll catch you guys next Tuesday for a new podcast episode. Ngā mihi nui te whānau.